The following program is sponsored by Seasons Financial Group.
Life is the reason to go with Seasons. Seasons Financial Group.
Welcome to Your Money for All Seasons with Stan Rickner on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. It's time to discuss financial, investment, retirement, estate, and insurance planning and more with Tulsa's financial experts at Seasons Financial Group right here in Tulsa. Now, Your Money for All Seasons with Stan Rickner on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG.
And good Sunday afternoon to you. My name's Russell Mills, and this is Your Money for All Seasons with Stan Rickner, live and local at News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. We're going to talk about finance and investment. It's all geared towards helping you reach all your goals and live your dreams in all the seasons of your life. Your hosts joining us once again, Mr. Steve Ellis and Mr. Stan Rickner. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, Russell.
Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you too.
Nice crisp fall day out there.
Good to be seen.
Good to be seen.
Okay, now what does your brother say?
It's better to be seen than viewed.
Oh, that's a good. I'll remember that one. Next time I see Joe Moore, I'll make sure.
He owns a monument company, so it kind of goes with the territory.
Okay. All right. So he's probably heard them all.
Yes, he is. He's got them stacked up from here to there.
And what's the other one? Intended. Think outside the box.
Yeah, well, you still can't.
Because once you're inside the box, pretty much done.
Yeah. I think the thinking's over.
I like that one too. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm driving to work today. This is fun stuff to do.
Right.
Anyway, it's work for Russell, but you know, we're just here.
Well, he's just putting up with us.
I know, I can't believe the drudgery, the horror.
Yes. You do this every week.
Yeah, I do.
We are Russell's entertainment. If you ever watch Russell and we say something, he just shakes his head.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
I get a chuckle. I get a chuckle from you guys.
Anyway, okay, so 2012, I'm shopping for a new car, right?
I don't know. Were
and
you?
So,
I don't remember.
Take your word for it.
2013's had come out. Sure. I needed a new car, so I was going to buy a new car. I did buy a new car. But the only one I could get, because of the model change stuff, had that backup camera. Mm-hmm. You know, those weren't mandated to, I think, 2015 models.
But those are mandated now?
Yes.
I did not know that. Yes. Shows you how old my news vehicle is. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, you don't
just
get
saying,
those
boss.
On your news?
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, so I was like, I don't need one of those. I will never use it. Why do I need a backup camera? And then I'm pulling the parking lot today, and I'm backing up, and that thought came back into my mind was, I one time said I would never use that, and now I don't know that I could back up without it.
You use it all the time.
I use it all the time. And so it's kind of one of those things, and we're going to kind of get in this show a little bit, Steve, that, you know, if we refuse to change, you know.
We're stuck on not using the backup cameras. Is that what we're saying?
That's what we're stuck, yeah. But the point being is, if you know, it's a change, and sometimes it's hard to make that change.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd eventually adopt it, if you will, and adapt to it.
My wife's car has a backup camera. Mine doesn't. Mine's older than dirt. Okay, so I get in her car and she goes, you know, you can use the backup camera. Oh yeah, it's got one of those. I just forget. I'm used to using the mirrors and whatever. And then all of a sudden I go, well, this is kind of handy. You know,
hey, it's great.
But
it's taking a while to get used to though. Parallel parking's a dream with those.
I got that old thinking, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
Like you're talking about.
Yeah, you know, the side mirrors and.
Yeah.
And now I drove my mom and dad's car the other day, and it's got that sensor where if you're getting too close to the car in front of you, it'll start braking on you.
Oh, really?
No, that's just creepy. That took some real getting used to.
Yeah, I want control of my brake pedal. I'm sorry.
The gas pedal, the brake pedal,
all of those things, yes.
Russell, speaking of that, could you ever ride in a car that was like an Uber that
was a
self-driven car?
Could I ride in it? Yeah, I could. Like, I'd be a little bit iffy about it, but I'd do it just to see what it was like.
Well,
but
you would do it as a reporter for sure.
Well, right? Yeah, if I was doing the story, yeah.
He would be the guy that's over there in the passenger seat pushing the floorboard, trying to hit the brake. You know,
is there a plan B? Because you know, every computer, every electronic device I've ever touched has at some point failed, bugged out, whatever. And I'm like, I want to make sure there's a plan B.
Right, absolutely.
That's all I'm saying.
All right, so we're entertaining questions today, Russell. How can they get a hold of us?
Oh well, absolutely. Then give us a call. We have the latest telephone technology, and it usually works. 918-460-KRMG. That's 460-5764. Love to chat with you, so give us a call.
On your rotary phone.
Yes.
And actually, you could talk to Tucker. If you don't want to be on air, just give him the question. He'll forward to us. If you want to be on air, we'd love to talk to you on air, too.
Yeah.
So either way.
But if you're just too darn shy, Tucker can translate for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Steve ran across an article the other day. He was talking about how much money people were saving for retirement. It's kind of scary. Have you ever read, you know, statements you used to get from Social Security Administration? And,
yes.
And I thought they quit sending those out, but I've had people say, oh, I got mine in the mail.
If you're of a certain age, they do send them out. But if you're younger, they stop sending them out.
Well, I'm glad I still have to log in to get mine then.
There yes. you go. So you're still young enough.
Absolutely.
I get the paper one.
Right. But and you know, we have disclaimers after the show and stuff, but there's a very big disclaimer on that form that says, you know, this is not designed to replace all of your retirement income.
What?
Yada, yada.
Social Security's not supposed to do that?
I think it still says it's supposed to be like 40%, you know, replace 40% of your income. Well, it depends on where you were income-wise as to whether that really does replace 40% or not. But, you know, it's basically saying, you know, hey, it's not going to be your all your income. And there's another thing it says on there. It says the Social Security Administration expect to run out of money. Now, qualify that a little bit.
Yeah.
By 2037.
No, actually, they moved the date up. It's 2032, I think. It says what's coming in is not enough to cover everything, but what will be coming in at a time will cover about
77% is what I read.
I think 77%. Yeah.
The article that I read on that one. Anyway, so, you know, Social Security is not going to be a wherewithal. So you need to start saving for retirement. You need to start putting money back. Now, people are out there listening to us going, oh, yeah, yada, yada, yada. I hear that all the time, you know.
Right.
But it's going to be a reality for you someday. Now, you and I advocate retiring as debt-free as possible.
Correct.
And staying out of debt during your retirement years. And that's the only way you can really control certain things.
Well, it makes a huge, you know, would you rather be paying the bank or would you rather having that money to use and spend on things that you want to do?
Right.
I mean, that's a simple choice.
Yeah. So you look and say, okay, I need to replace all of my income in retirement. Maybe not. Because now, if you have a mortgage or two mortgages, if you have a second house or you have
kids
in college,
those are doing pretty well, but they're putting a lot of money back in their 401k. Once you retire, well, the money that you were setting aside for 401k, you don't have to do that anymore. So maybe you were saving 10% or 15% of your income, maybe more. Well, you don't have to figure that into your budget when you retire. So obviously that goes away.
Well, and let's talk a little bit about that. So okay. There are people who, according to a study I was reading, said that there are people who are putting money into retirement plans and yada, yada. And the older you get, which this is understandable because the numbers back this up, is the older you get, the more you have in your retirement. But the median, meaning the middlemost, throw out the high, throw out the low, the median was only $5,000. Now, this study was done in 2013, but
5 years
still,
ago.
Still, yeah. Still, it's not that dated.
No.
But only $5,000?
Yeah, that's scary. And that's where people are just living day to day. They're not really thinking ahead. They start real late, or they just think, oh, I'll just figure it out when I get there. You know, we're going to fly by the seat of our pants. Everything's going to work out. Everything's, you know, gumdrops and lollipops and whatever, you know, those type of things. So,
well, if you're living paycheck to paycheck, this is talking to you because you're not putting money back for retirement. And you're going to end up working way past your retirement years, which some people look forward to. I plan on working past my retirement years. I mean, and if I'm not working for a paycheck, at least working in a volunteer position somewhere.
Absolutely.
You know, doing some volunteer
work.
Which
is what we always tell people. Don't just retire from something, but retire to something. Have something to do, whether it's volunteer, working part-time, doing something that gets you up in the morning, doing something purposeful, something that's meaningful, and it helps our society.
Yeah, and then as we go through retirement, you know, basically here's a 2017 study. It was talking about, for starters, many experts recommend setting aside at least 10% of your income as soon as possible. Okay, this study in 2017 from the International Longevity Center in the U.K., we'll still use the numbers.
And your number there kind of goes back to what I always say, you know, save 10, give 10, and live on the rest.
Right.
Especially if you're starting out young, saving 10 is huge. Now, if you don't start saving until you're older, you need to really save more than 10.
Right. But this says 11 to 20%. And that's to replace 70% of your income in retirement.
Yeah, there's the harsh reality right there.
And that's if you start young.
A lot of people are saying, gosh, how am I going to save 11 to 20%? That just doesn't seem possible.
If you're going to play catch-up, you better start to work really, really fast. You better get there, and you better look at what your sources of income
are. And here's something that maybe people don't stop and think about, but if you're putting money in your 401k and it's pre-tax, you know, you get a tax break for putting it in there, you got, in other words, let's say I'm going to say $500 a month, whatever the number is. Well, your paycheck doesn't go down by $500. So it's only going to go down by maybe $400 because the rest is tax savings. So it's not all coming out of pocket. Uncle Sam's covering part of it for now. He's going to make up for it later, but he's going to help you out in the meantime.
Right. But you do have expenses when you go to retirement that maybe you don't necessarily have at a younger age, too, and that is health care.
True.
You're going to have, you know, your health care you're going to have to cover. And right now we're in that period of time from October 15th through, I think, December 7th or something like that for Medicare.
And so enrollment, for the people in the spring and summer of life, a little tidbit, live healthy as you can. So when you get older, you'll be in a much better health.
Yeah. Well, that's true. But, you know, we still have to have that health care because, you know, one of the major components of bankruptcy in the United States is
Because then people end up with a lot of out-of-pocket expenses in retirement that they weren't counting on because they let their health kind of lapse and didn't take care of it as well as they should have.
Yeah, understood.
Pretty common, and let's face it, healthcare ain't getting any cheaper, folks.
Absolutely not.
All right, we're going to take a quick time out. You are listening to Your Money for All Seasons with Stan Richter on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG.
Life is the reason to go with Seasons. Seasons Financial Group.
Oh, welcome back to Your Money for All Seasons with Stan Richter here on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. I'm Russell Mills. Coming up here in about 8.5 minutes, your top stories of the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center and a nice crisp fall forecast for your work week. From Fox 23, stay tuned. Then next hour after the news, it's Kim Komando. If you have questions for us today, you can give us a call. 918-460-KRMG. That is 460-5764. And your host for Your Money for All Seasons is Mr. Stan Richter.
And we would love to hear from you. If you got a question, give us a call. And if it's too hard, I'll throw it to Steve. If it's something that's more simple, I'll answer it.
That's pretty normal. That's okay. Bring it. Come on. I can do it. I can handle it today.
Okay, Steve. I'm ready. We started the show talking about backup cameras, right? I didn't think I'd ever use an adapted tool.
And how we turned that into retirement, I have no idea.
Well, and here's the thing is that, you know, we have to adapt. Things change and you just have to adapt. You know, I mean, you and I could not live without a cell phone now.
We could.
Not just a cell phone.
We don't have a landline anymore.
A smartphone.
Let's call it that. Exactly.
Because, no, I mean, cell phone was a thing, and then smartphone became a thing.
Yeah.
And when you got yourself a smartphone, you finally made that leap. You went, what was I ever doing with that piece of junk cell phone, right?
Exactly.
Because of all the ways you use it.
Oh, yeah. So we used to, you know, for business, for, you know, keeping up with family and communication, see what the grandkids are doing, et cetera.
Exactly. Photos, camera, it's everything.
All of it. It is. It's everything. It, you know, used to, it's just a telephone.
Yeah.
It was a
toy.
It became a texting machine.
Now it's a necessity.
Teletype.
Okay. I remember when they put a camera in the first, you know, cell phone. I was going, now what?
Why?
What are they doing?
Why
I could see you might want to take a picture for business or something. But then, of course, then it turned into the selfie world. And I went, oh, and I just shook my head.
So. Okay. Well, think about this. We were having this, another conversation I was having with somebody. I was talking about vinyl records.
Uh-huh.
How vinyl's coming back.
You know, people like it.
Yes. But, you know, we were talking to somebody. They were saying, what's a vinyl record, you know? What's an LP? Anyway, a turntable. And so then we got thinking, okay, well, no, I'm still hanging on to my 8-tracks. What's an 8-track? You know, what's a cassette? Mm-hmm. What's a CD?
8-track, worst music format ever. Sorry, inventors of 8-track. I did not love them.
But putting them in your car and cranking out the tunes, it was pretty good.
But we changed and we evolved. Even though you and I are still wearing the same clothes we had back in the 70s, but still, you know.
Well, you do have a 70s color on there.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just saying.
Hey, it's orange, okay?
It's burnt orange.
It was my 70s color.
Burnt orange.
No,
that
it's
was,
orange.
That's
this
as 70s as you get.
Anyway, okay, but talking about change.
Yes.
Winston Churchill said, those who refuse to study history are doomed to repeat it, which is, you know, we go through cycles of things.
Yes,
you know,
we do.
And we go through cycles in the market as well.
We do.
And you and I sit and watch. You know, things that are happening. Having been in the industry as long as you and I have been in the industry, we kind of know what the cycles look like when they start to happen and how they evolve. They're not all the same. Matter of fact, I would say none of them are the same. There's usually something a little bit different about
them. But they sure do rhyme.
But
they do rhyme a lot.
That's one of my favorite sayings. Yeah. History may not always repeat itself, but it often rhymes.
It often rhymes. Right. And we see that in the market. So we look at certain indicators, and if things are moving in a certain direction, we know that history tells us it's more likely, not always, but likely to be this. you know, if it's something else, then it's more likely to be that. So we, you know, we look at those type of things and, you know, go with the ebb and flow of what the economic cycle is.
So if interest rates start going up, we know usually what that, or if inflation starts to increase, then we usually know what that signifies. That the Fed's going to respond with interest rates.
They're going to raise rates because they want to, they don't want the hot economy to heat up too fast. And so they want to kind of get, and we've been so low on interest rates for such a long time. They've been raising rates recently because things have improved. The economy is starting to heat up some. So they're trying to keep that in check so it doesn't get carried away. Like we had in the 70s, we had some huge inflation during that time, and we don't want to see that again.
Right.
Gentlemen, we have a couple of callers. Do you want to take one real quick?
Sure, let's go.
All right, we'll probably be able to get one in before the break, and then maybe we'll ask our other one to hang on. But let's start with Chris, and Chris has a question about retirement. Chris, how can we help you today?
Yes, sir. Is there a formula or a way to calculate how much you actually need to retire in the bank?
Yeah, good question. There's all kinds of calculators out there. There's different ways to approach it. You can say, you know, you set a number and you say, I want to achieve that number. I like to go at it a little differently. I'd like to, when I sit down and talk with somebody, I say, okay, if you were to retire today, or, you know, think of yourself, if it's 10 years, 20 years in the future, whenever that is, you know, the kids are gone, et cetera, what are my expenses going to look like? So I put it in today's dollar. So I need, maybe I need $4,000 a month to live off and live comfortably. And that will cover, you know, whatever my, you know, groceries, bills, traveling, you know, those kind of things. And so once we know that number, then we can do a calculation to figure out how much you need to be saving that to create the income that will produce, you know, like $4,000 a month. So that's what, call it $48,000 a year. We'll just round it up to $50,000 a year. So you're going to need a fair, of course, part of that may be covered by Social Security. You might have a pension, might be part of it covered there. So that can be taken into account. So maybe Social Security covers maybe $1,000 of that, or maybe even half of that. So you got to come up with the other $2,000 that you need to cover that. So that's the way we kind of approach it. And there are calculators online to do that. We're happy to calculate that for you. I have a spreadsheet, and I figured out year by year what you need to do. So, you know, we're happy to do that.
And, of course, that's inflation adjusted. We always factor
which
inflation
in. Which is
the
biggest key to think, because you've got to have enough money in the future to as you, when you start drawing on your accounts in the future, you need to give yourself a pay raise each year. So that's the one thing we calculate. And I figure, you know, if, let's say you do the infamous, you know, retire 65, you know, what a lot of people do. You know, you might live to be 95. So that's 30 years. That you need a pretty good size pile of money to be able to draw the income and to adjust your income each year to give yourself a pay raise because things are going to be more expensive.
Right, the $4,000 that you say you need a month is going to be a lot more expensive 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road.
Yeah, it might be $6,000. You know, 20 years down the road, it might be $7,000.
For the same lifestyle.
For the same life. Be able to buy the same amount of goods and services.
Right. And what are those calculators you're using on the computer? If you find a good calculator, it's going to ask you what inflation you want to adjust. And what do we use, Steve?
Well, the long-term average is around 3%, give or take. I have some clients that want me to use a higher rate of inflation, so we'll kind of overfigure. So gives them a worse number. It means they have to save more. Sometimes, you don't maybe need to adjust your retirement and income by the current rate of inflation. You might sometimes get away with a little bit less than that. So, you know, it's all adjustable, but we want to be kind of in the ballpark, and then we adjust it year by year as you go forward.
Right. And then there's ways of finding the money to put back. You know, you might look and say, hey, I've got the deluxe package on my cable TV.
Right.
Maybe you don't need the deluxe package. Cut that back and save the money. You know, just looking at things that are nice to have, but not necessary.
You got to separate needs and wants. Absolutely. So, Chris, if you thought you were going to get an easy answer, I hope your head's not spinning, but does that help?
Yes, definitely.
Well,
definitely,
and just think of it this way. If you had $1 million saved up, you could pull off about $50,000 a year and adjust it for inflation going forward. Give or take a little bit. Some say $40,000. Some say a little more than $50,000, but that's in the ballpark.
Right.
All right. Well, Chris, thank you very much for calling.
Thanks, Chris.
And thank you very much for listening. We do appreciate it. We're going to take a quick time out for the news and the weather. It's the important stuff we do around here. But we'll be back with more important money talks about the seasons of your life. It's Your Money for All Seasons with Stan Richter. More after the news on News 102.3 KRMG.
Life is the reason to go with seasons. Seasons Financial Group.
Welcome back to Your Money for All Seasons with Stan Richter. I'm Russell Mills, and you are listening to the show live and local in Tulsa, Oklahoma on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. We always urge folks, if you've got any questions, give us a call at 918-460-KRMG. That is 460-5764. We've had a couple callers today, and we'll get around to that in 1 second. But first, let me reintroduce the man who is our host, and that would be Stan Richter.
Yeah, welcome back. Russell, we had a couple of callers, and we love to hear calls coming in because it kind of makes Steve and I have to think a little bit instead of just sitting here talking to each other.
We like thinking.
But anyway, but we had a second caller.
Right.
Who had a question.
And he had a question, didn't want to be in the air. And by the way, that is perfectly acceptable. If you don't want to be on the air, that's fine. Tucker will write it out for you. So he, Rick was the caller, and he asked about Ted Cruz's windfall elimination provision. This is a bill that Senator Cruz of Texas has proposed on government employees. And he says, will it be voted on here sometime soon? Okay, I think I'm not sure that Rick understands exactly what this is. It's a U.S. Senate bill. But let's talk just real quick. What is windfall elimination provision?
Yeah, there's a provision in Social Security that it eliminates certain people to be, let's say they weren't paying into the Social Security system, or they were, but they also had a different system, like one of the federal systems, mm-hmm. or it could be a state system. And so that could offset some of what they could get out of Social Security. So really, all of their Social Security doesn't really count for them. So
and we should make clear, these are mostly public employees. We're talking police officers, firefighters,
right.
teachers.
It could be. Now, in Oklahoma, it wouldn't really apply because we're set up a little different here. Most of the states that it doesn't, but there are some states where it does apply.
Presumably Texas.
Because there's on the House side that they're talking about it too, and one of the Texas congressmen is part of this. You know, they're trying to get this thing passed. So, and actually, on one of the Texas websites, they go into some detail on the teacher's retirement system there. So there apparently there are some teachers in, you know, in Texas that maybe not have a different system set up. And it is different there than what we have here. But it may depend on, vary from district to district, municipality to municipality.
Yeah, but so, there aren't that many states that don't do that.
No. But so this is just to kind of make things a little more fair. So it would help them for their Social Security to count more for their benefits when they do retire. So, you know, I don't know enough about the bill and all the details, but I've seen a couple of things on it. So the House and the Senate, they'll be, you know, they're taking that up, and they may be, you know, they may pass it, they may not. I don't know. But
and
that's
so the other part of your question, when will they vote on it here, Rick? The answer is they won't.
Yeah, they
because
don't have
it's a bill in Washington, D.C. It would be federal law, so the voting will be done on the floors of Congress.
That is correct.
One way or the other. And I would tell you there's probably a good chance it won't happen until after the election. That they'll even bring it to
Yeah, they got a few other things on their plate right now.
Well,
especially
not only that, but, you know, I mean, right now the controls are in the Republican hands. Democrats are hoping they win enough seats to shift that over.
Right.
So they're going to try to push as much business off into the new term as they possibly can, just because of the potential shift in power.
Potential shift, yeah. Not going to cooperate, sure.
And I'll just say politics as usual. We'll just leave it at that.
It's whether it can be the other way around. We've seen it both ways. So.
Exactly. Steve, we were talking about change. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we were talking about is the cycles that we see things go through. We've recognized these cycles that they've happened through our careers and how they've worked, and kind of know what's going to transpire. Now, it's not always the same. It's a little bit different every time, but at least you know that if interest rates start up, bond prices are typically going to drop because of the rising rates. So we kind of know that going in. I mean, there are just certain things that are kind of rules of thumb, if you will. Now, not all bonds drop, but most do.
Right.
So it leads us to a thing called active and passive investing. Okay. Let's just talk about passive investing first. Passive investing is just simply a buy and hold strategy, or buying into an index,
right?
Okay, like the S&P 500. And keep in mind, the S&P 500 is an unmanaged group of securities, stocks, considered to be representative of the stock market in general. Okay, right. So it's not indicative of any individual stock. It's a market valuated index with each stock's weight in the index proportionate to its market value. Indices, here's the key part. Indices are unmanaged. Investors cannot invest directly into an index.
There are funds out there that mimic the indexes. So if you want to try to track one, just be aware that you can't track it exactly, because when you invest in a fund, there's expenses.
Exactly.
Which is what you're just saying. Yep. Where the index itself, obviously, because it's not managed, so there's no, fee involved with that.
And if you want to know what that fee is, mutual funds and exchange traded funds, both, are sold by prospectus.
Right.
Okay, so there's a prospectus.
And they spell that out.
Right. And it'll spell out, in there, you've got to consider the investment objectives, the risk, the charges, which are the fee structure, and the expenses carefully before investing. And the prospectus, which also, and here, I got to throw this in there, because prospectuses are written for attorneys by attorneys. That's always the,
pretty much.
It's always the term we've used in the industry anyway.
There is good information there.
There is. And the first part is kind of like the Cliff Notes version of it.
And that's the important part, especially to take a look at.
Right. It contains this and other information about the investment company, the people who put this thing together, and can be obtained from the company themselves, the fund company, mutual fund company, exchange company, or from your financial advisor. But you need to be sure that you read the prospectus carefully before deciding on whether that's the correct investment for you or not.
Yeah, we encourage people to do that. So okay, now that you finished talking to your attorney this morning.
I know. I know.
So a prospectus is basically the company's, what, sales pitch? Or
no, the prospectus is, what was that, the Act of 1940?
Yeah.
What was it? I can't remember what it's called.
Advisors Act, something.
Something like Mutual Fund Act or whatever. But it basically stipulated and said, if you're going to do this, this is what you've got to do.
If you're going
to
do what?
Modified. If you're going to do a mutual fund,
okay,
and you're going to put this thing together and you're going to sell it to people, then you need to disclose all this information to them. Now, of course, that's evolved since 1940 and as things change. But it does spell out what the objective is. Spells out, they can't have any percentage of more than 10% in any particular investment, which would also include cash. And they can't do this and the other, and this is what they'll typically buy into. So it spells out all the specifics of what they're going to do.
So really, it's basically a legal document saying this is what the fund can do and what it can't do. So if they go outside of those, they, obviously then it opens the door
right.
where they could be hammered him with a
right.
lawsuit or, that type of thing.
And is it the SEC who monitors that and biffs you if you were bad, or who is it that enforces all that?
Generally, I would say that, because the mutual fund companies all have to be registered products. So in other words, they've got to file a registration deal with Securities and Exchange Commission to, one, get it approved, then they got to go get it listed. So yes, it is. It goes through huge regulatory hurdles to do that. Now, what's funny, and not funny, here's the evolution. I'm not using the backup camera, but I can't live without it now, is these exchange-traded funds have now come along, where the exchange-traded funds are, Steve, help me out here, but they're still kind of a mutual fund.
I'm going to watch you squirm.
Yeah, they're still kind of a mutual fund, but they trade on a more frequent basis. Mutual funds trade once a day. That's
right.
The close of business.
Yeah. Okay,
And basically, mutual funds, basket of stocks or bonds or some combination thereof, and right, they price it at the end of the day, then that's what you buy it at or that's what you sell it at.
And then the next day, you sit there and wait until the end of the day.
Right. If you decide you want to get out of it.
Exchange-traded fund is a basket of stocks, bonds, or some combination thereof, but it can trade all throughout the day like a stock, an individual stock can. So
you could buy and sell that baby 100 times that day.
You don't day trade mutual funds, no.
There are people that do that. There are some special funds out there that are made for that, but we're not big fans of those.
Right.
Because the market can go with you, and as quickly it can go against you in a hurry, and it's usually a lot more hurt. It's like one of the research people that we know, and she puts it this way: the market is more like an escalator up and then an elevator down.
Well, I think of it like a roller coaster, because literally, you think about riding a roller coaster, it's always really slow going up that hill.
Mm-hmm.
But when she comes down, you're rocking.
Yeah, you are.
So,
but the deal with the exchange traded fund versus a mutual fund is Steve, we have to admit, expenses are a lot less.
On average, they're quite a bit less. There are some expensive exchange traded funds out there, but if you look across the wide range of what offerings are, they're quite a bit less on average. So there's even some new ones that came out that basically have a zero expense charge. I don't know how they're making their money, but they're I think they may use that as a loss leader to get people to get their other funds. I don't know that for sure, but that's I just saw those recently. But, you know, there's some very, very dirt cheap exchange traded funds out there.
No, they're just nice guys.
No, that's
just
it.
That's probably
they're doing it for the goodness of heart. Yes, because that's what they're in business for.
Yeah.
Anyway. That's how they keep the doors open.
But the exchange traded fund allows you to be more nimble because it trades throughout the day like a stock.
Correct.
Rate. All right.
And they're less expensive, and there's some tax advantages to them too. So you can your capital gains and stuff can be a lot less. Can be, not always. Depends on how you use them, but there's some advantages in that department too.
All right. Good. Which kind of leads us to another little topic about active versus passive. So if I'm passive and I just kind of buy and hold, or I buy something just tracks an index, which we talked about an index, then I'm just going to sit there and let the world fly by and move.
It's just going to track the index. You're just going to there's different kinds of indexes. There's indexes that, you know, track big companies, small companies, in between size companies, bonds, stock, you know, whatever. They're international. There's a wide, but there's different ways of constructing those indexes. So some of those indexes are based on the size of the company. Some are they equal weight them between all the companies on the index. There's a lot of ways to index.
Right. But like we were talking before, that the prospectus of that index or mutual fund is going to tell you what that particular
fund is going to
do.
They're going to spell it out.
So if you want one that just mimics the S&P 500 or tries to, it can't because it's going to have expenses associated with it.
And, giving a good example of that index, that's a size company. Well, actually, we got to go to break, right?
We'll come back and take a quick time out.
Yeah.
Well, let's do that. We'll do that, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about the prospecti.
Yes, plural.
It could be.
I took Latin in high school. It was a lucky guess. More of Your Money for All Seasons with Stan Richter right after this brief timeout on News 102.3 KRMG.
Life is the reason to go with seasons. Seasons Financial Group.
Welcome back to Money for All Seasons with Stan Richter here on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. Coming up here in a little over 8 minutes, your top stories in the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center and your forecast. Should be a nice forecast, I think, at least for a couple days. Don't see any sprinkles until about Wednesday or so. After the news, it's Kim Komando time. Your host for Your Money for All Seasons is Mr. Stan Richter.
Yes, and we're in the last part of our hour. So if you got a question, you better call us in quick.
You better do it quickly. You can call us at 918-460-KRMG.
That's because Stan has long answers.
Yes.
Better
get it in.
460-5764. There.
Yep. Got it. KRMG. Rotary dial. Steve, we were talking about active versus passive investing. And passive just simply means buy and hold strategy, not very active, meaning that you don't change your investments
much. You just
basically
mark it to an index and set it and forget it.
Right. And if you're marking to an index, I mean, the S&P 500, some companies come in, some companies drop out, but not that much.
But think about it, those are weighted on the size of the company. So when Apple's the biggest company in the S&P, so it gets a much heavier weighting. Much a higher percentage, where the number 500 company gets like a teeny tiny 0.02% or whatever, where Apple might get 4 or 5%, you know, that type of thing. So you have to be aware how indexes are constructed and whether you're comfortable with that. Because some companies will say, well, let's equal weight them, give everybody an equal amount. So take 500, you know, divide it out, and so everybody gets that little slice.
But the expenses of a fund, a mutual fund or exchange traded fund, are always based upon the amount of work that someone has to do, right?
Correct.
So if I'm mimicking an index,
it's not much work, they're cheap.
Not much work. So the expenses go down.
And we use some index funds in our portfolios, and we typically find we like index funds that are not necessarily cap, you know, based on the size of the company, what they call cap weighted, but we look at other factors. So there are some companies that they do what they call smart beta or factor investing, where they use other criteria what funds get selected. And then they rebalance those. And sometimes funds will drop out. Others will come in over time. So it's kind of a cross between passive and active.
Okay. So the last few minutes we've got left over. So active management means you're going to make some changes.
So we're not going to just set it and forget it. If something happens and we see the market falling apart, that's where the manager, if we're managing the funds, we're going to come in and say, okay, we may be using these exchange rate funds or some mutual funds, but we're going to pull out of those and get more conservative. Or we may even go, you know, to short-term bonds. We may even go to cash if we have to.
Right.
If think of 2008.
So if we're using an energy ETF, which is spelled out in the prospectus, it's going to be an energy-related stocks, yada, yada. Okay. Then energy starts to crater. Oil prices start to go down.
Yeah, if there's some weakness there, we're going to back out, get less exposure to that area, sometimes no exposure. But usually most of the major sectors of the economy, we're going to have some exposure at most of the time.
Right.
But we just may weight it differently. So that's more of an active approach. So instead of just doing, let's just do a little bit in each one, let's overweight here, underweight here, based on where is money flowing in the economy? Where is money being treated best? Because that's where money's going to flow to. So it's for a while it's been technology, and then of course recently technology's had a little pullback. The economy ebb and flows in different areas.
It does. It does. And so knowing now that we've defined active versus passive, passive, set and just let it happen, set it and forget it, the Ron Popeil thing. You remember Ron Popeil that does the commercials?
Yes.
You know? Anyway, but the Ron Popeil method, the set it and forget it was the rotisserie chicken thing. Yeah. You
well, that works good for it.
That was his little saying.
Just don't leave it there too long.
But anyway, so just set it and forget it and just let the market happen to you and just take the lumps as you go. Or there's the active, which is saying, okay, look, this is how things are evolving and happening. Now we're going to make some changes based upon what is happening in the markets, not what we think is going to happen.
No.
At least that's not how we manage it.
You got to look at the numbers, look at the data. What is the data telling us? What are all the data points? Are things improving? Are we going into recession? You know, those kind of things. So we're going to recession. Obviously, we start playing more defense. If things are going well, then we're going to play offense, and we're going to have the offensive team on the field. But there's times when you got to put the defense out there because we're going through that part of the economic cycle.
Right. And so there's pluses and minuses to each. I mean, a passive strategy would be more tax efficient, possibly. But I was told early on in this business is don't let taxes dictate your decisions, because if I don't want to take a capital gain on something, and I might end up losing everything that I would have paid in taxes plus.
You think back to, I think in 1999, I remember a mutual fund that year, the tech funds, there were some funds that were up 200% that year. And we all know what happened. The market peaked in March of 2000, and then things start backing off. So that's when you got to have a different plan in place and not see things crater.
Right. And that's a good example of a fund that probably ended up paying a huge capital gain in a year that it lost money.
Yeah.
And that's a weird anomaly. But, you know, if you got a mutual fund, they sell something, got a huge gain in, it's in a year that the market's dropping. You might look at that mutual fund and say, I didn't make any money on that fund this year, but I got this capital gain I'm going to have to pay on because of the capital gain distribution. And so it's a phantom gain. Yes, it's somewhat of a phantom gain, but
Uncle Sam gets his chunk.
Uncle Sam
lose for you.
Absolutely.
That's kind of.
But anyway, but active and passive. I mean, it's as simple as saying, are you going to just go with the market and let the markets dictate, stocks, bonds, markets, whatever, or are you going to try to be a little bit more nimble?
And it doesn't have to be all one or the other. So you can have a combination of that. So you can have some passive investments. You can have some more active investments. So. We're fans of that, too.
Yeah, but always look at a prospectus. If you've got mutual funds or exchange-traded funds, make sure that that's the proper investment for you.
All right. Good advice, gentlemen. Thank you so much. You've been listening to Your Money for All Seasons with Stan Rickner. We are here live and local every Sunday from noon to 1. Up next, your top stories, the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center and your forecast from Fox 23 and KRMG. And then it's time for Kim Komando. I'm Russell Mills. Have a great Sunday.
Securities offered through Brokers International Financial Services, LLC. Member SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through LexAurum Advisors, LLC. A registered investment advisor. Brokers International Financial Services, LLC. And LexAurum Advisors, LLC. And Seasons Financial Group are not affiliated companies. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Brokers International Financial Services, LLC. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Neither Brokers International Financial Services LLC, nor its representatives offer legal or tax advice. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with the appropriate professional regarding your individual circumstance.